When you were younger,
I hope that we, you have games and you have sporting teams and so on. May I ask you, if you had to pick a team, how were some of the old ways of practices or other ways that you choose who to go to, one team or not one team? Or did they say, yes,
let's go be really
wet.
About picking sites. Picking sites, all right? Yeah. As we look at the various scriptures that read up to us, one, I believe, one of the key threads that link us together is about the Holy Spirit, all right? About how that brought into, all right? At least this is how I see it. Because in the first passage, you talk about Jacob, and God spoke to him, and then he said, oh, about the presence of the Lord. And then, of course, the Roman really talks about being adopted into being a children of God, and being part of God, and then so on. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit was with Jesus when he spoke very clearly in front of everybody, and he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, I believe, is one of the key things which I want to focus on today, which is exactly what's shown on the pew sheet. Led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you a statement, and this statement may not necessarily sit very well with all of us, but nevertheless, it is a statement. Okay? And the statement says there are only two kinds of people in this world. Who's led by the Holy Spirit, and those led by their own desires. Right? Two camps. Led by the Holy Spirit, and led by the own desire. Now let me say this, it does not mean that we should be totally void of any desire that we have. Alright? Like I would say, I'm looking forward to my lunch and spending time with John and his boyfriend. So that's something I decide to do that. So the statement does not mean that we got to get rid of all our desires, because we do have desires. We are human beings. We do have wishes and wants and things like that. But more fundamentally, we need to understand that what are we being led by? Who is in charge of our lives? So, in Matthew chapter 6, I'm using the amplified version of the Bible. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is, money, possession, fame, status, or whatever is more valuable than the Lord. Two reasons why being led by the Holy Spirit is so important. First, it defines who we are, and it's really about our own identity. Who we are, who you are, and I am. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit," this is what read up to us earlier, "of God are the children of God." Those who are led by the Holy Spirit are the children of God. That defines our identity, who we are, sons and daughters of God. That is a definitive marker of who we are. Notice that it didn't say that how much I have read the Bible, or how much I have prayed, or how long I have prayed, or when I go to church, how regularly, or to serve. These are important stuff to do. But by definition, our identity is based on being led and filled by the Holy Spirit. That defines we are the children of God. What set us apart as God's children is that indwelling Spirit that lives in each one of us, and that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all things. So that is who we are. The second thing why it is so important, it defines who do we belong to. Romans chapter 8, it says, "The Spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we are God's children." We belong to God. God testified by the Holy Spirit that we belong to God. The Spirit does not just define who you are, but it says who we belong to. That's why we can have that confidence in the relationship that we can have with our God and the eternal home of heaven that awaits us. The truth is that we cannot live a successful Christian life or any part of the Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to lead us. He doesn't make us to follow, doesn't force us to follow him. It is our choice and our willingness to do so. We don't have to reach to any particular level of spiritual maturity or to have special anointing to be led by the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus Christ, when we accept and believe, we are filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us. So, I like to share with you four things about being led by the Holy Spirit this morning. Firstly, we need to listen to the Spirit's voice. We must listen before we can be led. The Old Testament prophet Elijah discovered that God doesn't speak through the wind, the earthquake, or fire. God spoke to him through a still, small voice. And if we are not careful, then we may well miss that still, small voice in the midst of a lot of noise and distractions that are around us. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You may have some personal experience how the Spirit might have prompted you to do certain things or say certain things in certain situations. The second thing we can do is to tune your heart. to tune your heart. To be led by the Holy Spirit, we must tune our hearts to His voice. We must listen to the voice, the prompting in every situation. If our heart is with God, if our heart is aligned with God's purpose and plans, we find ourselves much easier to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. But if our heart is on something else, then we may not be so easily listening to it. Typically, we could be sitting in the lounge watching the latest football game on, and somebody say something to us. Because we're so focused on the television, we can't hear what someone else may be saying to us. So our heart needs to be right. The third thing that we need to do to be led by the Spirit is to obey what you hear. Now that's a tough one. We can listen, we can hear, but we may not necessarily obey. There's this boy who had been playing up. So the mom made him sit down, and he is heard in saying, "I may be sitting down, but I am still standing up inside." It is one thing to listen, but it's another thing to actually obey the voice that is being spoken to us. Many a times you wonder how someone can be so in tune with God. Have you experienced some people that you come across? They seem to be so in tune with God. God reveals Himself to those who are open and obedient to His view. The more we listen, the more we obey, the more we follow God, the more we in tune with God's prompting. That's how it works. The fourth one that we can do is that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us step by step. Step by step. The Holy Spirit leads us one step at a time. God rarely gives you the big picture and the final destination. When the elevator is out of order, you need to take the stairs. And it is one step at a time. We may not have an elevator to shoot us to some destination that we want to arrive there immediately. But in life, there's always something that requires us to take one step at a time. Like a spiritual GPS, God may not reveal the next step, and we take. God may not reveal everything all at once, but He will reveal step by step. Driving like a GPS, you turn left, you go into this road, and so on. The more we keep our spiritual ears open and to obey and hear God saying to us, the more we found the Holy Spirit speaking to us. The Holy Spirit will lead and direct you and I as never before if we allow so. Let me give you some examples of people in the past that were led by the Holy Spirit. Remember Ezekiel. He said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit and set me down in the valley of dry bones." The Spirit led Ezekiel into that situation. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness shortly after He was baptized. Philip and the eunuch, they had an encounter. It says in the book of Acts, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.'" Philip was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, and then to go up to the chariot to meet the eunuch. And then, of course, we know the story after that. The eunuch came to know Jesus and was baptized. While they were ministering and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart me for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. While they were fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. The people set these two individuals apart. And for them, after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to another place, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So sometimes the Spirit may lead and open doors, but sometimes the Spirit say, no, do not go through that door. What about John? John, he said, he carried me away in the Spirit in the book of Revelation. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. There was a vision that John saw described to us in the book of Revelation. And there are many, many more examples can be found in the scriptures how people are led by the Holy Spirit. And you and I can have that same experience, led by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that our church is led by the Holy Spirit collectively as well, as we try to plot forward what are some of the plans or some of the things that we may come to do in the future. We need to pray. We need to be led by the Spirit. It's not just what we think is good, but be led by the Spirit. So in summary, let us look at this particular promise again found in the book of Romans, given to us by Paul. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, they say, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That's the promise we can claim and hold on to because what Jesus has promised us and God has promised us. If we led by the Holy Spirit, we are the children of God. And going back to the original statement, two types of people, led by the Holy Spirit, being children of God, and not being led by the Spirit of God, then we miss out on being part of God's family. So dear brothers and sisters, the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, the more he leads you through the day. I found personal, the more I pray, the better I get at it. Better, I don't mean longer prayer or more eloquently. But I feel that the more I pray, the more I in tune with my heart, myself, to God, and what God may be saying to me and how I may act and behave. And there are many things. The more you get into reading the Bible and the scriptures, the more you say, wow, what wonderful stories are there. I want to read more. Someone just shared with me recently as part of a connection I have. And this person said he has been reading the gospel over and over again quite a few times. And the more he read, the more he understands God, the more he realized what God may be saying to him. And that's the power of God's Word. And that's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The more we do it, the better we get. And the better we get, the more in tune we are with our hearts to God. The Spirit of God is all powerful, but he doesn't lead with aggression. He will lead you gently but firmly. He will help you to make better decisions and choices. If you are in a conversation, for example, that is not healthy, he may prompt you to step away and stop that conversation. That's part of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. He may lead you to speak to someone and share the gospel with them. Have you encountered such a situation? You say, I just have to go and go up that person and say something to that person. Or go up the person and pray for that person. He may put a thought in your heart to pray right now for a specific thing. And I invite you to join our prayer service, which is coming up, that collectively as people of God, that we can pray together. And on that day, there may be something God prompts you to pray for the person in your cluster, sitting together. Or you may be praying to something that God has impressed upon in your heart, somebody. This morning, Dara and I were just doing a devotion together. And one of the things it reminded us that, yeah, continue to pray for one another. That was the passage that was brought to us. To pray for other people. How can we be praying more effectively and more for one another? It's a good thing to have. If you have a journal or prayer journal or your list, you can start writing names that you pray for. If the list is growing, good. If you only stay on just two or three names, then you can do better. Praying for one another, seeking the Holy Spirit to intervene in the lives of people, in our church, and the brother and sister we have here, and going beyond that, the more we pray, the more we see the wonderful work of God's working in us and through us. So let us pray. Let us pray and come together on the prayer service. Let us pray regularly for one another. We have a prayer chain. We have other means that we often pray. And shortly after this, we'll also enter in a time of intercession. Pray, asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and to see the fruitfulness that the Spirit will grant us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that your Spirit is always there to lead and guide us. And we pray that we will always be prompted by your Holy Spirit to listen and listen with our hearts, but also to follow and obey you. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.